some sort of a parasite on his arm. It's assimilating his flesh at a frightening speed. Now, I may have to get ahead of it and amputate. Now, I don't know what it is or where it came from.
It's the blob, folks. And I know we've got a little suspense going on here, but I wanted to play that for you. We've got Ralph Carmichael. He actually was a man who did the score for that movie, The Blob, of all things. A lot of people don't think of him that way. And if you can, Ralph, you're going to have to tell us what the pseudonym that you used when you did The Blob. And then I'm going to ask you a question that I don't know if you get answered or asked often, but what was your pseudonym when you did The Blob music?
Oh, wow. I haven't thought about that for so long. Let's see. That's right. We copyrighted the score, registered it with ASCAP under a different name because I was afraid I'd get too much criticism. But I can't remember.
Okay, well, that's all right.
If it comes to me, I'll interrupt you.
Okay. What's funny about that is it's the kind of thing I do on the radio right now. A lot of people support me in what I'm doing, but they won't listen to my show because it's scary. You know, they just, it's kind of, and then they hear it, and then they're so excited, you know, but it kind of stresses them out a little bit. Okay, now this is why. I'm going to ask you this question. You were born 1927. I believe it was it May 25th?
May 27th,
1927. So you were 14 years old when World War II started. Because of that, you're from a perspective, there's the old guard, so to speak, the folks that really saw people pouring themselves out for the sake of their neighbor to try to get through the hardships of World War II and the Depression period and things like that. And you saw a society that had more of a biblical worldview, I think, as they were addressing things at the time. Can you describe, in your eyes, what's your perspective on the world then compared to the world today?
Of course, I led a very sheltered life. And we, in the Carmichael household, we were certain of one thing, and that was, whatever happened in the world, God was in charge, and God would protect us and see us through. And I remember going through the fear and trauma of Pearl Harbor, and because we lived in California, and it was a time of as I recall, of great fervor in my dad's church, and it seemed as though we were living almost in a time of revival, because people were seeking the not just the blessing but the protection of the Almighty, and now here we are a half a century later and or more, and the world is a frightening place, and I'm so thankful for the faith, the enduring faith that I've grown with through the years, and I know that one of these days every knee will bow to Christ, and whatever uncertainties there are, and there are many of them in our country and in the world, and it grieves me to see what's happening, but still I know that God is in charge, and I don't know what people do that don't have that sustaining faith and the belief and the knowledge that God is watching over his church, and we are going to be victorious and reign with him one of these days.
the reason I'm asking you specifically, and I ask folks that are your age, if I can use that phrase, but that's the way it is, that in their 70s, especially their 70s or above, or their, and even their 50s and 60s, I hear the word fear often. And I like what you said, because it's totally different than anything I've heard so far. I have a lot of people telling me that they're fearful of what they see happening today. There's a lot of things that are encroaching upon our just the political realms today, the way government's working, the kind of expansion of government. I had a gentleman in his 80s walk up to me one day. I didn't know him from anywhere. And he walked up to me, looked me straight in the eye, and as if, I don't know why he picked me out of the crowd, and he told me how fearful he was at what he's seeing. And I think he's reflecting back on what was going on in Eastern Europe and Russia and in Germany during World War II era and prior to that and through the beginning of the Cold War. And I think what I'm picking up is they're seeing some of the same things really taking root, not even root, now blossoming in our day here, even in America. So it is quite refreshing to hear what you said there was, hey, folks, God is in control. And you don't have any of those qualms about what you're seeing. It's not tilting you at all. It's not disrupting your I don't know what term to use, but essentially it's not putting any kind of upset or fear or anything in your heart or mind at all.
If you took the element of security and assurance that God is, in fact, in control, and that all the things that are happening, the Bible student who knows prophecy can show you that it's been foretold, these things, we're living in the last days. And if you were to take the God factor away, I'd be scared to death. But when I know for an absolute fact that God is in control, and every day when I get up, I commit my life to Him, and I ask for guidance to do His will that day, and I'm part of His plan, that's an assurance that is precious to me, David.
Well, that's kind of one of the things that I'm eventually trying to even get myself daily to be considering. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I got to tell you, there was a faith crisis in my own life when I was in the Navy, and there was something that God put on my heart, and I realized, God, if I obey You, I'm going to make myself vulnerable. I'm not going to have my career that I was expecting. I'm not going to have my retirement check that I was expecting. And everybody's going to think I'm a kook and an infidel because I have a wife and children and a mortgage. And so if I take the plan that God is putting before me, I'm not going to be able to survive too well. And what an infidel, you know. So there was a point in my life when I was struggling, and I was here in the middle of a one of those brash obedience, great faith moments, you would think. But I was just scared to death. I was obeying but not having fun, right? And my wife says to me one day, she rebuked me, and she says, she wanted me to till the garden. We borrowed a rototiller, and I'm supposed to till the dirt. And I'm whining. And she says, just go till the garden. And I said, honey, I said in 90 days, we're not going to have this house. Somebody else is going to eat the fruit. And my wife, I got to tell you what a whiner, huh? My wife rebuked me in the best way. She said, seek ye first, and she quote, because I'm the guy who quotes the seek ye first stuff all the time, right? So she quotes it right back to me, but she quoted the Luke 12 version that goes on to say, where Jesus went on to say, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. You know, slap, slap, slap.
Yeah.
And she was 100 feet away from me, and it's like she reached right out and just slapped me upside the head. I'm telling you, oh my goodness, she was so right. And I'll tell you what, we're in the same house, and that was 12 years ago.
Great.
See? So, and I will tell you, I have written a book. It's called Faith, the Final Frontier. And it basically is sort of an autobiography because it goes through and says these weird conflicts of decisions where you have to figure out what's the right thing to do. And sometimes you've got a pragmatic, it makes sense. Anybody with a brain would figure out the right thing to do, but I knew in my heart it was the wrong thing, that God had a different plan. And I was nutty enough, even with people watching, to do the God plan, and everybody is just thinking, David is gone nuts. We are, you know, and what would happen would be all of a sudden you'd get miracles, you know. And I was telling you just before I told you we had that little music thing that I did for our church. They wanted to expand the music program. I came up with an hour musical drama, and the whole time we literally had no way to accomplish what we were asking to do. And the one thing my pastor kept asking me from the very beginning is, how are you going to get a curtain? It's not set up to where a big stage curtain, you'd be able to pull it off. And I kept telling him, I don't know, but we'll have a curtain. And 2 minutes before we went on stage, he says, where's the curtain? You know, I mean, there's no curtain. I said, I don't know, brother, but we'll have a curtain. Sure enough, this guy rigged the curtain, and it was beautiful. It looked like it was professional, like it was designed for the building, the way this thing operated. So
beautiful.
So that's just, I got a little anecdotal touche there. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm going to tell you who we're talking to. It's Ralph Carmichael. You can check him out at ralphcarmichael.com, and we're going to give you a chance to say, you got basically 2 minutes to say anything you want to say to our Florida audience before we go to our next break, and I'll plug your next appearances.
Well, what I want to say is that a week or 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure I knew I had a David Allen second cousin, and I very well remember your father and your uncle, your father Dick and Uncle Jack, and now I have a new friend in David Allen, and I'm so pleased that another Carmichael is participating in Kingdom Work and spreading the good news of the gospel. And David, I look forward to cultivating this new friendship, and look forward to meeting you, and I hope we can do this again.
Well, good. Thank you. And if you'll just stay on the line while I close out here, we'll take a little care of a little logistics. Folks, I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. You got to almost come into my living room with a family reunion here. So this is kind of an unusual broadcast that we've had, but as I said when we started, I'm indulging myself today. You're going to get perspectives. What I try to do on the show is bring different conversations so that thousands of people could listen in, a little fly on the wall. And I think periodically you're going to hear something that just rings truth to the very core of your being. And I think eventually you're going to respond to it. So, hey, keep tuning in to the Freedom 104.3 FM and this Faith and Freedom Show. You can check us out at faithfreedoms.org. And again, check out our guest, Ralph Carmichael, at ralphcarmichael.com. When we come back, you can give us a call at 888-850-1872. That's 888-850-1872. 850-1872.